to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Jaden.
And I'm Manny.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. This episode, we're going to be talking about Batman versus Superman, big blockbuster DC movie that came out recently. So be warned, if you haven't seen the movie and plan on seeing it, you probably want to shut off this podcast and listen to it later after you've had a chance to see it. We're just going to cover one quick bit of news, and then we're going to dive into the Batman versus Superman talk. So be warned, spoiler-filled episode coming up.
We're sitting on top of the story of the century here.
So the one bit of comic news I want to tell you guys about, because I have a feeling you don't know this, sort of tangentially comic-related. So you both are aware of CBR, right? Is that one of the sites you check, Manny, for your comic book news?
Yeah.
And Jaden, you're familiar with CBR as well?
Yeah.
So the guy that founded CBR was 21 years ago, Jonah Weiland. And in a way, he's kind of the face of CBR, because every year at WonderCon, they do what's called the CBR Tiki Room. And they decorate one of the rooms, either at the Anaheim Convention Center or this year at the LA Convention Center, to look kind of like a tiki hut. And they bring in creators, and Jonah Weiland himself is the one that interviews these creators. At San Diego every year, same thing, but they rent a yacht out in the marina that's right behind the San Diego Convention Center. So he's, Jonah, being that he's, you know, he founded the site himself just as, you know, a fan, a young fanboy 21 years ago, and built it up into what is pretty much generally considered the number one comic fan site. Well, he sold CBR. I'm sure the deal had been in the works for a while, but it became official yesterday. He sold it to a Canadian media company that, among other websites, controls ScreenRant.com, I guess. So the amount that he sold it for wasn't, like, the full amount wasn't officially disclosed, but it's said to be in the eight figures. So, you know, for those of you who are mathematically challenged, that's a minimum of $10 million. So, I mean, wow, right? I mean, he just started out doing like what we do, you know, but back then there was no podcasting when he established it. So it was just, you know, the website, writing some articles, you know, talking about comics, and he built it up and he sold it for $10 million, so, or minimum of $10 million. And so he's actually going to be leaving CBR, which is, you know, being that he's, like I said, he's kind of the face of it. That's pretty interesting. He said that he's going to be there for a little bit longer, while he helps with the transition. And then he'll be leaving to pursue other endeavors. Actually, I believe what he's, here it is, and I quote, "After 21 incredible years running CBR, it's time to begin a new chapter." I mean, the guy doesn't have to do anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, minimum $10 million. So, you know, cool for him, I guess. You know, the site has won Eisner's, you know, which is the highest honor you can have in the comic book industry for its coverage. And the company's called Valnet, V-A-L-N-E-T, as I said, Internet Media Corporation from Canada. So I don't know Jonah myself. I've never actually met him. I know him. I know people that he knows, but I've never actually met him. And I actually was going to seek him out at WonderCon and talk to him, you know, solicit some advice and maybe ask, you know, if we could do some kind of partnership or something, but I just didn't have the time. It wasn't a huge priority for me. And I guess it's a good thing that I didn't, because it would have been a waste of time. Obviously, with him stepping away, he wouldn't have been able to, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't have told me, but he probably just would have said, yeah, you know, now's not the time, and you'll know why, you know, soon. So, pretty interesting. You guys have any thoughts on this, Jaden?
I mean, it's crazy that it's worth that much. I knew it was a big website, but I didn't think it was going to be like eight figures.
Manny, you have any thoughts?
get your money, man. That's all I gotta say. After putting in 21 years of work, it's nice to see that you can get your money back, or all the time you invested in it, get something out of it.
Yeah, and like I said, so minimum 10 million, you know, easily could have been more. I guess there was a Bleeding Cool article about it, and in the Bleeding Cool article, they mention this other comic, or this other internet site, that through various things that they measure, like traffic and the amount of ads on a website or whatever, they have this formula where they can calculate the value of a website. And they estimated that, and they did this for a bunch of comic websites, not just CBR, but they estimated that CBR was worth $62.5 million. I said that's based on traffic, where the page ranks on the internet, demographics, all that kind of stuff. That's worth of web is that that website, that, and it does the valuations of websites, not just comic book websites, but websites across the internet. So being that they had estimated that Comic Book Resources was $62.5 million, I would assume that he got a lot more than 10, but like I said, obviously we don't know the number. 21 years to build up that kind of equity, though, that's a long time. We haven't been doing this nearly that long. Our website's only been up for a little over a year, but if we take that number, let's take the lowest number possible, 10 million divided by 20, I'd sell our website for 500,000. Would you guys be down?
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, we'd split it three ways, and then you know what we do? We'd start up another one, call it something else, so we could keep doing what we're doing. Be pretty cool. Or maybe join somebody else's podcast. But yeah, pretty crazy, man. I'm good on him. It's really cool that he was able to do that. It'd be interesting to see if he does like retire and step back and just kind of enjoy being a comics fan again, or if he decides to start up something else. So anyway, you've been warned. I will warn you once more. We're about to start our Batman versus Superman review thoughts, dissecting the movie. So if you haven't seen it and you plan on seeing it and don't want it spoiled, now's the time to probably turn off this podcast. Not that we want to shoo away listeners, but we don't want any of you mad at us for ruining the movie. So come back later after you've seen it and see if you agree with the things we say, or if you have other thoughts. So just reach out to us. We'd love to hear what you think as well. Superman, let's start off by giving our kind of overall thoughts. Why don't you go first, Manny?
Overall thoughts, I really enjoyed it, but it did leave a couple of sour notes, or actually I guess I have mixed feelings about it, but I did really enjoy it. I just think that they could have done a way better job editing it, and that would have solved a lot of problems for me.
All right, fair enough. What about you, Jaden?
I went in with really low expectations. I was expecting it to be better than Man of Steel, considering, I didn't really like Man of Steel, but I was thinking it was probably going to be better than Man of Steel. And I came out of it, like, I enjoyed the movie, but I personally think that a Batman and Superman movie, I think it should have been better.
Did you like it better than Man of Steel?
Oh, yeah, but that's not really saying it very much.
Yeah. You know, I definitely line up more on Jaden's side of things. First of all, I disliked Man of Steel. That's no secret or surprise to any of our longtime listeners. I would go so far as to say I pretty much hated Man of Steel. Like, I disliked it extremely. I've talked about it ad nauseum, so I'm not going to go into the details here, but I very much disliked Man of Steel. So when I heard they were doing a Man of Steel sequel, a Superman sequel, I had mixed feelings about that. You know, I was hopeful that, maybe it would be, you know, I kind of thought, well, I can't help but be better than Man of Steel. And, you know, early on, David S. Goyer and Zack Snyder, who I felt were a big part of the reason Man of Steel was so terrible, they were talking about how there was going to be growth of the Superman character. He'd learn from killing Zod in the first movie and blah, blah, blah. And so I had a little bit of hope, you know, but really the thing I wanted to happen was to have those two guys not involved with the sequel. But that being said, you know, Superman's one of my favorite comic characters, if not my favorite superhero character. And so I was happy that there was a Superman movie, even if I didn't like it. And I was glad that there was going to be another one because I was hoping to like it more. But then pretty early on, it kind of shifted. Warner Brothers kind of shifted course, and it went from being a Superman sequel to being a Superman sequel that was going to have Batman in it. And then on the heels of that, we got it's Batman versus Superman. And so I was like, you know, I didn't know how I felt about that. You know, I was like, well, I don't feel like they did a very good job with Superman, and now you're going to throw Batman in there too. How much character development are we going to have? And then, you know, with the things going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and, you know, all their success, and then we found out, okay, Justice League movie, and are they going to shoehorn in all these other characters? I started to get more and more worried. And then when Jade and I saw the trailer at San Diego last year, when they debuted it, the first trailer didn't give me a lot of hope. But then, you know, I saw a few other things as time went on, and I started, you know, thinking about it. Well, maybe it won't be so bad. Let me give it the benefit of the doubt. Let me try to keep an open mind. And so that's kind of where I was at. Started to get a little more excited, started to have some more hope, you know, from seeing some of the Batman fighting scenes and such. And I thought, okay, maybe it won't be as bad as I'm expecting. Let me try to keep an open mind, not make up my mind before I go and see it. Even though David S. Goyer still, you know, has a writing credit on the movie and Zack Snyder's still the director. But then it debuted. You know, it had a Sunday premiere in New York at Radio City Music Hall and such. And I saw a few, you know, you couldn't help but hear things unless I had just, you know, avoided the internet completely because I didn't see it till Thursday. And it was a lot of what I saw initially was negative, and I didn't go out of my way to read them, but I didn't go out of my way to avoid them. I didn't really read any articles in depth, but it just, there was a lot of negativity that came out right after the movie first came out. And I just, despite my efforts to keep an open mind, I started to think, man, this movie's going to be terrible. I'm going to hate it. And without realizing it, my expectations had kind of crept up a little, despite what my initial feelings were for the movie with, you know, the creators that were involved and the first trailer I saw. I, without even realizing it, my expectations had been raised. Well, after all that first initial wave of negativity, after a lot of the premieres and the fan sneak previews and such came out, my expectations again were pretty much rock bottom. So I went to see it on Thursday. It did exceed my expectations, but like I just said, my expectations were like all the way at the bottom. But one thing I kind of realized when I was watching it the first time, because I did go see it again just earlier today, was I kind of had this little bit of a mini epiphany, maybe halfway through the movie. And it just kind of struck me that, okay, maybe if Superman had to be Superman today, in today's world, if he had to, you know, kind of debut and rather than in what honestly I think we'd all have to agree was a much more innocent time in the late 30s, early 40s, if he had to become Superman today, maybe it would be the character and the story of Superman would be a lot closer to what Zack Snyder is trying to portray on screen. And likewise, if there really was a Batman today, how realistic would it be that he wouldn't have this, you know, he would have this no killing rule and he wouldn't use guns and such, because clearly he does in this movie. So maybe from that perspective, if I can just kind of look at it like that, then maybe I can enjoy it for what it is. It's not my version of Superman I like. It's not the Batman version I like, although it's closer to the Batman from the comics than it is to the Superman that's in the comics. Maybe if I can just
look at it. I disagree.
Okay, let me just finish. Maybe if I could just look at it through that lens, then maybe I can just accept it for what it is, watch it as a movie that's spectacle and enjoy it for that. You know, it's never going to reach the level of my love for the Superman from the comics or the Batman from the comics, because it isn't really those characters. But it's almost like I kind of at this point have to take it like that. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up hating it as well. You know what I'm saying? Oh, go ahead, Jaden. What are your thoughts?
I was just going to say that I don't think that Batman is very close, is much closer to the comic than Superman is. I mean, he is darker in the comic than Superman is in his comics, just because he's Superman. But I mean, Batman was murdering people like this entire movie. Like, I don't feel like people are talking about this very much, but like, he straight up shot that guy in the back of his flamethrower canister. Like, there's no way he didn't know that was going to kill him. And throughout the entire movie, he has machine guns on all his stuff. Like, I think he's killing people this entire movie. They're just kind of, they're playing it off like Marvel does, where they just don't show people dying.
Oh, there's no doubt he's killing people. And what I've seen people talking about is, shooting the flamethrower. And you look at it like this, okay, he didn't kill the guy. The flamethrower blowing up killed the guy. But he knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, he's not stupid. That's still killing him.
Yeah, what else, other choice did he have to save Martha Kent, blah, blah, blah. But and the other thing is, like, well, it's all self-defense and yada, yada. And I mean, that's a whole argument for another day. The other thing I've seen is, like, oh, this is an older Batman. He's more cynical. He's more jaded. So, but yeah, I agree with you. It's being kind of glossed over. But there were so many things. There was so much more in the movie of Ben Affleck to like as Batman than there was of Superman. And there was plenty wrong. But I just feel like I kind of feel like he was closer, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really like Ben Affleck as Batman. It's just like people, I hear the excuse that, oh, this is dark. Oh, he's killed people. There's some comics where he kills people and all this stuff. And it's just, I watched three Christopher Nolan movies that, I mean, as even though they got progressively worse, I still thought that the third one was a pretty good movie. And throughout all three of those movies, he didn't kill anybody, or he did his best. Like when he was holding Joker's hand on Dark Knight, and he's like trying to keep him from falling. He wouldn't technically be killing him by not grabbing his hand. I mean, the Joker would have killed himself, but
yeah,
he's trying to keep him from dying because that's what the Batman does. And like, I don't know.
Well, in the first one, he does do that to Ra's al Ghul though in the subway car.
Yeah, he does. That's true.
I'm not going to kill you, but I also don't have to save you.
Yeah.
And,
that's a far cry from using guns.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they've used them before. I mean, Tim Burton had his parents machine guns on the Batmobile in the 1989 first version.
Yeah. Yeah,
and right. Then in Batman Returns, he straps a bomb to one of the thugs' stomachs and pushes him in a sewer, and where he blows up. So it's been done before. I just don't know why, you know, so much is being put now, when in other movies it's happened
multiple times. Yeah, but I mean, his body count in this one is clearly a lot higher.
Yeah, that's just like, it's just a lot more blatant to me in this one.
Yeah. I agree. Now, Jaden, what do you think about what I'm saying about, you know, maybe it's, let's look at it through the lens of, okay, this is Batman being Batman now in today's world. This is Superman being Superman in today's world. I have a feeling that, I mean, as far as like people not trusting him, and the whole thing with the Senator, Holly Hunter's character, you know, calling him out, basically, I feel like that maybe if this were to happen, those seem like at least semi-realistic things that could happen. You know, the government would just let him go do what he wanted to do unilaterally. They totally would try to politicize it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, but my only thing is, I'm looking at some of the DC shows and some of the Marvel movies, and I'm just saying how maybe they're a little bit more out there, and they're not quite as grounded as maybe this movie is, but it still has a lighter feel, and it has like, and I mean, this one has Batman, so it should be a little bit darker because Batman is a darker hero. But I just feel like Superman shouldn't be like, oh, he shouldn't be like, I feel like he's going to cry all the time. Like, when I look at him in the movie, I just feel like he's at any point, he could just be like, damn it, and these people all died, and I'm trying to do all this stuff, and it's just sad. It's just sad. That's what I feel. That's what I feel like with this, with Henry Cavill as Superman. And I think he's a good Superman. I think he could be a really great Superman. But I just think that the way that he's directed, he just seems sad and just like dour. Yeah. And like maybe it is how he would be in this society, in like society nowadays. But I feel like we go and watch these fantasy movies so that we can escape reality.
Yeah, that's true. And I totally agree with you. And he wasn't even, I mean, he was given so little to work with. And when you kind of look at it, Superman never got a win in this movie. He never got, like, just, okay, because as much as I disliked Man of Steel, there was that moment where, before he even really becomes Superman, he's on the oil rig and he saves everybody. You know, and that to me felt like the most Superman moment, the most heroic moment in that whole movie. And he didn't even get a moment like that in this movie. You know, he's been Superman for 18 months. Clearly, he's doing good because there's people that, you know, love him or whatever. And they, and the, like even the guy that was the general in the first movie, who's now like Secretary of Defense or whatever for the current president's cabinet. And, when they launched a nuclear weapon and everyone's in that kind of war room place and, you know, the blip disappears that was Superman. And he says, oh, you know, whatever bogey number two or whatever was Superman or whatever the terms they use. And there's sadness there, you know, that they think they've killed Superman, you know. And so clearly he has the respect of at least some people. So obviously he's done some good, but we don't get to see any of that. I mean, the closest we come to it is when he goes to save the little girl from the burning building in Mexico. But even that is dark because it happens to be the Day of the Dead festival in Juarez. And, you know, he brings this girl down and hands her to her family. And everyone kind of reaches out to touch him like he's some, you know, messiah. But they have these, you know, Day of the Dead masks painted on him and everything. And it just has like a weird feel to it. So he doesn't even get to have like even one little totally heroic moment, one win where we really see, you know, how he transcends himself and he just helps for the sake of helping. And, you know, we don't get to see a Superman, a true Superman moment, you know, and at least we got that in Man of Steel. So I do agree with you. I mean, I think Henry Cavill isn't, for what he had to work with, great actor. He looks the part, but, you know, he says and does some things that just don't make any sense. Like, you know, clearly Clark Kent is worried about the Bat Vigilante, as he's called early on in the movie, trampling over human rights and such, and he thinks that there's a problem there. You know, he doesn't have all the facts, and that, you know, that goes into a whole nother problem I have with the movie as far as him and Batman not having all the facts or whatever. But when he confronts Batman, when Batman's like trying to get the kryptonite from the Lex Luthor convoy or whatever, and he just says, and we saw this because we saw it in the previews and we had talked about it before, how it just seems like so not Superman, and he tells him, next time you shine your light in the sky, don't go to it, you know, the bat is dead, bury it, consider this mercy. And just it's not something Superman ever would say. It just isn't. And then even later when he's talking to Lois about how he, after the bomb explodes in the Capitol building and such, and he's like, you know, this was my father's dream to help people and blah, blah. And I'm like, wait, what? When did that happen? Because we all saw Man of Steel, and we all saw, and that was part of the problem, big problem that Jaden had with it from being such a fan of Smallville and seeing the way Pa Kent was portrayed there, and a big problem I had with it from growing up reading the comics. In Man of Steel, Pa Kent wanted him to hide. He wanted him to have a normal life. Didn't want him to use his powers. Didn't want him. And so when did this happen? I mean, because we saw in Man of Steel the argument in the truck about him staying hidden, and then the tornado, and then Pa Kent died. So when exactly did this happen? What, you know? And so they can't even keep the continuity straight in their own movie. This is only the second one. This was an old farmer's dream that I would help the world or whatever. Wait, when did that happen? So I had a problem with that. I mean, when we start picking nits, we'll be here all night. But, you know, there was a lot of problems with, you know, the plot. Another thing I didn't understand, why the heck in the first part of the movie, when we see a flashback to the Battle of Metropolis, Why does Bruce Wayne fly across the harbor in his helicopter as Bruce Wayne? Why isn't he showing up as Batman? You know, like, why is he racing toward this cataclysmic fight just as Bruce Wayne? What, I mean, even as Batman, the way he's going to be able to help is going to be very limited, but he doesn't even show up as Batman. He's going as Bruce Wayne. That didn't make any sense either. Totally did not understand that.
Yeah, the plot in this movie, it's very hectic. In movies, when you watch them, if you're watching a good movie, there's usually three acts, and almost all movies have three acts in them. And most of the time in a good movie, you don't really notice that there's three acts. You're not like, oh, we're now in act two, oh, now we're in act three. I mean, if you're really watching, maybe you will be. In this movie, I felt jarred every single time an act went to the next act. I was like, wow, that was a transition for sure. It felt like a slideshow in PowerPoint just came across a screen or something, or we went out and took like a 5-minute break to go get the snacks or something.
Yeah,
like, I mean, the movie like had a lot of good things. I mean, I don't want it to sound like I hate this movie. I don't hate this movie. I think this movie should have made $1 billion. I think that Batman v Superman, they would have had to do something extremely, extremely, extremely wrong to have this movie fail, because they have the star power. And just the fact that I didn't go until Saturday. I didn't go on the Thursday. I didn't like go out of my way to go see it, and I wasn't even like really planning on going and seeing it the first weekend it came out. I was kind of just like, I guess I can go see it on Saturday. I think that that's a pretty big failure in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get into the things we liked. I just want to go over the things that, you know, I didn't like first. And yeah, the whole beginning part with Lois in the desert or whatever, and then the girl goes before Congress, that same committee where Holly Hunter's the head of it, and she's.
Do you know that guy she was that Lois was in with was with in the desert was Jimmy Olsen, the CIA guy?
No.
Yeah, the guy who got shot. Yeah, that's Jimmy Olsen.
Didn't know that at all. How would I? How do you know it's Jimmy Olsen?
In the credits, they have him credited as Jimmy Olsen.
Huh. No, I didn't know that. And it. I mean, that whole thing was like. It wasn't explained well. I mean, I understood it a little better the second time. Okay, so the guys that are working for Lex Luthor kill everybody in the village, and then so it's all blamed on Superman. Like that doesn't really make sense either, because they're killed with bullets. Superman wouldn't kill them with bullets. And the, you know, the lady that goes before the committee is blaming it on Superman. That doesn't make any sense either. Clearly, it's not his fault. Like, none of that made any sense. It was terrible. It didn't make any sense. But honestly, the biggest problem I had with the movie. And this became very obvious to me when I saw it today for the second time. It doesn't make any sense that Batman would have this raging hatred for Superman, despite what happened in the Battle of Metropolis. If the Batman that I know, the Batman that I love, the world's greatest detective, if that happened, and especially being that 18 months have gone by, you're telling me that he's not going to know. He's not going to have done the research and realize that Clark Kent is Superman. He's not going to do all, you know, find out everything he needs to know and to realize that Superman and Clark Kent are on the side of the angels. No, he's just going to be mad and try to kill him without, I mean, it doesn't make, he's so angry. It just doesn't make sense. And if he really, and if I'm supposed to buy that, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, he's got these rage blinders on. He's become obsessed. We know he has that obsessive personality. It's the whole reason he became Batman in the first place. And so, you know, this Wayne Tech building or whatever his company's called in this movie, Wayne Enterprises building's destroyed and all these his employees died and whatever. And so he's going to kill Superman. And then, so even though he's completely wrong in this, I believe, but he's convinced he's right. And then he's going to stop because their moms have the same last name. Come on. Doesn't make any sense. And it was by far the worst part of the movie. And like I said, I really came to that realization how much I disliked that part of the movie today when I went to the theater. And then it got to that part where Superman and Batman were about to fight. And I honestly was bored. I didn't want to watch them fight again. I wanted to be able to skip that part of the movie and get to the part where they're friends, because that's cool. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed when Batman saved Martha Kent and said, "I'm a friend of your son's." I was like, "Yeah, that's cool." And then I enjoyed the final fight. I've heard some people complain about it. Oh, it's too much CGI and just blah blah blah. But man, I liked seeing Wonder Woman. I liked, you know, the scene with Batman or whatever. I liked the heroic ending for Superman. I think it's a shame that they did that, that they killed him. I did not see it coming necessarily. I guess maybe I should have, being that Doomsday was the villain of the movie. So maybe I should have seen that coming. But it just seemed like, okay, Zack Snyder, David Goyer, that clearly they don't understand who Superman is. Clearly they don't know what to do with the character, because he got zero characterization throughout this movie, just like he did with Man of Steel. And I was promised characterization at the Superman 75th anniversary panel in San Diego a couple of years ago. He's going to learn from his mistakes. We're going to blah, blah, blah. Clearly, they Warner Brothers changed course. We did not get that at all. Didn't necessarily expect it. You know, David, David Goyer's involved. I expect the writing to be crap. I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, it was awesome when when Batman's bat plane or whatever he calls it crashes, and Doomsday's about to fire his, you know, eye beams or whatever at him, and he's like, oh crap, and he does, and Wonder Woman blocks it, and that music comes up, man, I had a smile on my face. I'm like, yeah, like Wonder Woman, she looked great. I wasn't sure how Gal Gadot was going to do, but she looked great, and the fight, she's fighting Doomsday, she has a smirk on her face or whatever, and yeah, those were cool moments, and that's what I was looking forward to seeing again. I could have totally skipped over the whole Batman-Superman fight, because it was just dumb, you know? Even the motivations, like I said, okay, Batman clearly has this irrational hatred of Superman for some reason, and like I said, he gets over it also in a very unrational way, but Superman has realized sooner, you know, he's like, man, I realized the mistakes I made. Lex Luthor manipulated me, and, you know, took advantage of my own prejudices against this Bat Vigilante. And he goes to Gotham to enlist Batman's help. You know, he tells Lois, I'm going there. I want to enlist Bat. I need to ask for his help. And then because Bruce fires some guns at him and some sound weapons, then he just gets mad and they fight. It doesn't make any sense. You know, there's several times where Superman would have stopped and said, no, we have to stop this. I mean, he just would have taken the bat armor that Batman was wearing and just torn it apart like tinfoil or aluminum foil and been like, okay, you're completely helpless. I could kill you, but I'm not going to. Now listen, instead of this long, drawn-out fight. Didn't like that at all. And one other thing I'm going to mention that I really did like, and then I'll let you guys talk, was the fact that Lois knew, because I didn't expect that going in necessarily, but clearly she's having a relationship with Clark Kent, she's having a relationship with Superman, she knows that they're one and the same, and that was really cool. I wasn't expecting that, you know, and so when he walks into the apartment, I was like, wait, what's going on? And then, you know, he walks in the bathroom where she is, and it's, you know, immediately becomes clear that she knows she's in on the secret. And I liked that because, you know,
she knew in Man of Steel.
Did she?
Yeah, because she went to Clark Kent's house. It was never really a secret. Clark Kent, like, fell off the face of the earth, and she was trying to find Superman, and she ended up going to Clark Kent's house. She put those things together pretty quickly in that movie. He wasn't very secretive about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. But still, it was nice to see them in that, like, domestic setting, you know, because it could have been that, yeah, she knew the secret or whatever, but, they, you know, he could have just, you know, like, he went and he saved her because she's Lois Lane and he's Superman, and, you know, she's like the one person he trusts or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're taking that next step to having a relationship and being in love and all that. And so I liked that. I liked that it was presented, but it wasn't like made this big deal out of, you know, it was just like casual. And I don't know. It was something that really just, it felt right to me. It's one of the things the movie got right. You know what I'm saying? Because for the longest time from, you know, Action 662, I believe is the issue where Clark Kent reveals his identity to Lois, and from then until Flashpoint, you know, they were the couple in the DC universe, you know. It was Superman and Lois, and they were in love, and they were married, and it was just, you know, that's like, this was the status quo for so many years. And so I felt like that was one of the things that they got right. That, and, you know, I felt like other than the irrational dislike of Superman or hatred or obsession with destroying Superman that Batman had, I felt like they got him right for the most part. I mean... I thought Ben Affleck did a good job as Bruce Wayne. You know, I loved Alfred. I thought that was really cool. So, you know, yeah, I definitely would be in for a Ben Affleck solo Batman movie. But, you know, them the fight between them was probably the thing I liked the least about the movie. I felt like this movie could have handled it a lot different. Didn't understand, you know, a lot of plot holes. Didn't understand Bruce Wayne heading to the tower, not as Batman. Didn't understand why Bruce Wayne wouldn't have investigated more. Hated the fact that Superman didn't get as much characterization. I didn't really like the dream sequences either. I felt like they were... I mean, if you're a big DC fan, you're going to see that Omega symbol on the ground when Batman comes up from underground and looks at, like, the burning city or whatever, and you're going to immediately think Darkseid. You're going to realize the flying creatures in the dream sequence or whatever are parademons. It's going to make sense for you. But if you're not a DC fan... you're just going to be sitting there watching it going, what? Wait, what?
It doesn't. They should have been deleted scenes for sure.
Yeah. Or in the director's cut or whatever. It just, it's not furthering the story. And the Flash, the Flash scene where he comes through the computer or whatever looked terrible. That was totally jarring as well. All I could see. And I listened to somebody else recently talking about Batman versus Superman, and they called him Mustache Flash. Because I totally knew exactly what they're talking about. That's all I could focus on was the fact that he looked so weird. He had like it was Flash with a mustache. It looked terrible. Didn't like it. Yeah. So there were a lot of things wrong with this movie. But honestly, like I could watch that Doomsday fight scene over and over just because I felt like that was really cool. Like the score, the music was done well. You know, I felt the impact of Superman being killed. That was you know, a heroic sacrifice. It's just a shame that that's the only way they could make him like meaningful, but I felt like he should have had a lot more characterization. Clearly they're going to bring him back for the Justice League movie, so I can only hope that, you know, he finally gets a chance to have some character moments and to grow as a character, and they give Henry Cavill, who I think is a great Superman, they give him something to actually work with and is worthy of his acting skills. But yeah, another thing. Okay, so here's a guy who gets his power from the sun. Clearly, the sun has healing properties for him, as indicated by, you know, him healing from the nuclear weapon when the sun hits him when he's in space, and you bury him in the ground. Doesn't make any sense either. Lay the guy out in the sun. He'll probably be able to come back to life, heal.
Put him on a big catapult, send him out into space.
Yeah, something. So then he doesn't even have the atmosphere, you know, blocking the sun's rays, gets more of the solar, unfiltered solar energy. So, yeah. Like you said, Jane, like, super choppy. Definitely could have done with better editing. I'm curious to see the ultimate edition or whatever that Zack Snyder's going to put out. It's going to be rated R.
So we're probably going to see Batman actually blow people's heads off in that one.
See, that's the thing that bothers me. Like, I would like to see an extended version of the movie that has more, like, story, like, explains the desert thing better, explains, you know, the story better. I don't need to have more violent action scenes thrown in. It has enough of that. But I don't know. I guess maybe this is their, you know, they might as well call it the Deadpool version, because, I mean, they announced it right after Deadpool started doing really well, so... Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I, you know, it was worth seeing twice. I probably, which is more than I can say for Man of Steel. I've still only ever seen Man of Steel once, even though I did buy the DVD. I've never actually watched it. So I won't go see Batman vs. Superman in the theater again. But I will probably buy the DVD when it comes out. You know, mostly because I'm curious about that Ultimate Edition. But I think overall, you know, it's like I can't even. I would rate the first part of the movie, like you said, the three acts. I'd rate the first part of the movie probably a 4, below average for me. Just too many plot holes, too many motivations that don't make sense. The middle part gets slightly better. I'd maybe give it a 5. And then the last part, I'd almost have to break the last part up into two parts, because I'd give like the Batman-Superman fight like a 2. And then I'd give the last part like an 8. You know, where it's the Trinity fight. I mean, seeing the Trinity on the big screen was it's just cool. They look good. You know, the music is great. It gets you in that, you know, that feel, like, really awesome. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe overall I'd give it like a 6. I'd give Jesse Eisenberg and Lex Luthor a 0. Well, maybe I'll give him a 1. Because what I realized when I went and saw it today was that he actually is a good villain. You know, he's kind of, I mean, even though he is kind of crazy and Joker-esque, which I hate it. I mean, the Joker and Lex Luthor are nothing alike. But, you know, I don't know if it's because it's, you know, they're expecting Batman fans, let's make Luthor more scatterbrained and Joker-like and kind of crazy. It doesn't make any sense. A much scarier Luthor is the guy, like, behind the scenes, pulling the strings, conspiracy theory, but you can never pin anything on him. You know he's, you know, guilty. You know he's crooked as a $3 bill, but you can't ever prove anything. I mean, that's the kind of Lex Luthor that is really scary. You know, who has the one that has like all this massive political power, and he's like untouchable. So Jesse Eisenberg was a good villain, but he wasn't Lex Luthor. You know, it just that part just didn't work for me at all. But you know, we knew that going in that Eisenberg was going to be a terrible Lex Luthor, and so that wasn't surprising at all. So anyway, let's hear some of your thoughts, Manny.
Well, I like the movie. I just think that there's certain parts of the movie that could be completely erased, and you wouldn't miss them at all. That's my biggest thing. I just think the editing was really bad. It could do with cutting out quite a bit, especially from the beginning. For example, all of Bruce Wayne's nightmare sequences, I think, can be cut out. Especially the one where he's a kid and he gets levitated by the bats. That can be completely cut out, and you're not.
Oh, he's got to be it. Jesus too, though.
No, it's got to go. That no one's gonna miss it. And then also when he goes into the graves, and then the blood comes out of the graves. That can be cut out. I even think that the beginning sequence with where his parents are getting murdered can be cut out.
Yeah, how many times do we need to see that origin? I'm convinced the only reason that part is even in the movie is so as Thomas Wayne is laying dying, he can say, Martha.
Just I know, everybody but you can, is clear you can take that they have the piece same name. And just have like a flashback later. Just, you know, or maybe even like as Superman's... If that's the direction you want to go, because I thought that was stupid too. Just have that little flashback scene there. But I really don't need to see the whole sequence. I thought that the beginning of the movie should have started with the Dia de los Muertos, where he's saving the little girl and saving that rocket ship. That's what I wanted. That's where I wanted to start. I wanted to start with seeing Superman doing Superman things, or start with looking back at what happened with Bruce Wayne in Metropolis, and then kind of do the credits afterwards with kind of like almost like a Watchmen type start, but seeing them do the like heroic things like he was, and then you open with that whole desert scene and causing a political uproar, and with that I think you not only do you save some time and make the movie a little bit shorter, but you don't have all this. I mean, if you're going to do all that Batman stuff, save it for a Batman movie. And even then, it's like, we've all seen it before. Many different ways. I don't need to see it again.
I don't need to see it. If I have to see those pearls fall one more time. It's ridiculous. Let me see if either one of you can answer this for me. So, Bruce Wayne is probably like mid-40s in this movie. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I was thinking he was like late 30s, early 40s.
He said he's older than his dad ever was. His mom was 35, according to the dates on the crypt.
I think his dad's probably like 38 or something.
Okay, so
could be like 30. I'd say 40 is probably a good 40. Guess.
Now, how old do you think that he was when his parents got killed in this movie? How old do you think he looked? 8? 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so let's go with 8 for the sake of argument and make it like spread out. So let's say he's like 42. We'll stretch it a little more. He's 42. He was 8 when his parents died. So let's say, and this is again a stretch. So that's what? That's 34 years. Let's say, assuming his parents died, he even though he's only 8 years old, he says, okay, we're moving out of the manor, build a lake house next to the manor. That's where I'm going to live. Let the manor fall into disrepair. A stately Wayne manor built out of stone. How the hell could it have decayed that much in only 34 years? And that, I mean, and that's making some pretty big assumptions that, you know, like I said, he moved it, you know, he was 8 then, he's 42 now, they moved out right away, let it fall into disrepair. I mean, it looked like it had been standing abandoned for like 80 years. I mean, am I right or wrong?
It's probably like what happened in the first Christopher Nolan Batman movie. He just got too drunk on a party and burned it down.
That's all that was left was a stone? Yep. All right, fair enough. Yeah, that really bothered me. I was like, what the hell, man?
Find out in the Batman movie, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I was like, what the hell? And the grass was all, I mean, whatever, man. I mean, even in 30, 35 years, the grounds aren't going to be have completely turned into some field of wheat with, you know, the trees are all gone and, you know, there's no more lawn. And it was ridiculous. It was so dumb.
There's going to be a lot of those holes in this movie because Zack Snyder is not a director that directs, like for content he directs to make sure the movie looks good. That's why he has all of these. That's probably why he put the death scene of his parents, not because he didn't think that everybody's seen it already, because he needed to do it his way and make sure that people saw the way that Zack Snyder would do it and how artistic he would be with it, because he's an artist, he's a visual director. That's why my main problem with the final, like, I like the final fight, but I felt like it, like, the camera was on the Trinity for, like, I felt like 14 seconds where, like, 7 seconds were consecutive each time, and I was just like, man, I understand, this is the first time they've been on the big screen all together, I understand, but, like, you could do this one time, and that's fine, but 2 times is a little bit much.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I've never really cared for Zack Snyder as a director. And, you know, because he cares more about the visual, that only contributes to the choppiness of the editing. Yeah, because, I mean, I totally agree with you guys. The editing was awful in this movie. So jarring. And, yeah, I mean, there are good moments. There are good moments. And it just felt like, and I noticed this, again, much more when I watched it for the second time today. I would see the good moments, the moments that stood out to me, and I would like just think, man, it's too bad that they're wasted in this movie, because it could have been so much better, but they just, you know, they tried to put too much in, and you know, like you said,
they're rushing.
Yeah, they're rushing to try to catch up to Marvel, probably, which in a way is understandable, but it, you know, I mean, honestly, I feel like they should have done a Superman sequel, and then you could have done some kind of a bat. And I disagree with doing it Batman versus Superman. It doesn't.
It's not even like a real fight. They don't even fight on their own accord. Superman wouldn't have done it at all if Lex Luthor wasn't threatening him the entire time. Like, he didn't want to do it even when he was threatening him. Yeah. And also, if Superman knew that Lois was in trouble in the middle of the desert and who knows where, Middle East, how could he not know where his mom was in, like, Gotham City? That's another one of my questions. I didn't really understand that at all, but Batman found him no problem.
I kind of, I've heard people like, well, how does he even know whenever Lois is in trouble? Does she like have a psychic link to him or whatever? But there's been various times in the comics where, I mean, he's Superman, and because he loves her so much and she is his world, he always is like listening in part of his concentration, part of his, you know, in the back of his mind, he's always like listening to her heartbeat and listening to make sure she's okay no matter where he is in the world. I mean, it doesn't really make sense when you think about it, because, you know, sound waves or whatever can only travel in straight lines. So if she's all the way on the other side of the globe, there's no really way. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. And so I was kind of okay with that. But you can't, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You can't. I mean, it'd be one thing if she's in Metropolis and he's in Metropolis, you know, and Lex pushes her off the building and he can. But yeah, for her to be all the way on the other side of the world, yeah, that was a little far-fetched. But it, I mean, for me, I didn't take that as you know, one of the top things wrong with the movie. But I do understand what you're saying.
I suspend my belief a lot in movies. It's just that when movies are inconsistent in themselves, it kind of bugs me. Like, if he can go and save somebody who he loves, and because he's, like, kind of thinking about him all the time, I would just think that he would do it in another thing. And, I mean, it's not a problem, necessarily. I'm just saying that's it's like, one of the things.
Yeah, and, I mean, we don't know necessarily that he didn't know where his mom was. I mean, he might have been able to figure it out. Maybe he was going to Batman to say, hey, here's the deal. Let me look around and try to find her.
I mean, Batman is like, I'll take care of your mom, you go do such and such. Like, Superman could do that in a second. I guess not really in this movie. He's not as fast as he should be, I think, in this movie.
I don't know, man. When the guy's got the gun to Lois's head, he's pretty fast at that point. Before the guy can even pull the trigger, he's like, through the wall. So, yeah, I mean, I do agree that overall, he's too dark of a character when Zack Snyder is controlling him and, or directing him, but you know,
kind of. I want to see the Batman. I want to see Batman written with the script written by Ben Affleck. Also helped out with Geoff Johns and directed by Ben Affleck. I want to see that. That's pretty much what this movie was like. It was like, hey, you want to see Batman by himself and have like Ben Affleck be the person to do all of that because he's the best part of this movie. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that instead of this.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say he's the best part of the movie, just because, like I said, for me. The irrational part, that's not really anything to do with Ben Affleck. You know, that's the story, that's the plot, that's the writing. I mean, as far as
his acting... Well, I think that's the problem in the movie. I think that the shining parts of the movie are when the actors go through the writing.
Yeah, so I agree. I think, for me, the best part of the movie is Wonder Woman. She's not in there enough. You know, she's kind of just window dressing in the beginning. But, like, I love when she's fighting Doomsday and he, like, knocks her down and she gets that little smirk on her face. And so that was like a really pleasant surprise for me because, I mean, you know, Jaden, I wasn't sold on Gal Gadot at all. I was like, man, she doesn't look the part at all. Cause for me, I was like, okay, you can go one of two ways when you cast Wonder Woman. She can either be like muscular and buff looking, like you would expect like an actual Amazon, or she needs to be like curvy and busty and like voluptuous. You know, it needs to go one of those two ways. And, Gal Gadot's neither. Although she did look bigger here than when I first saw her, you know, clearly she was working out and stuff. But yeah, I actually thought that she did a really good job. It was a very pleasant surprise. Yeah, I thought she was awesome. And I hear, you know, I'm pretty excited for the Wonder Woman movie now. I was kind of like, whatever, you know, before, but now I'm kind of, yeah. And it's like, and this is kind of sad because since Superman is my favorite character of the Trinity by far, that the movies with Superman are going to involve Zack Snyder, and those are probably going to be the worst movies because he's not involved in the Wonder Woman movie and he's not going to be involved in the Batman movie. And so because of his absence, because those movies won't be touched by him, they'll probably be so much better. And that just kind of sucks for me. You know, for you, Manny, as a Batman fan, you're probably, you know, happy to not have him on those movies.
Actually, I don't mind his Superman at all, but that's the thing. I don't care for the classic goody-goody Superman at all. That's why I'm not a fan of his. I guess that's why I lean towards Batman so much because of how light of a character he is. I don't like him. So Zack Snyder's version of him, where he's snapping necks and kind of like being a little bit darker. I like that.
You can't tell me you liked Superman in this movie. Like Jaden said, he looks like he's about to cry at any second.
Well, that's the thing. I can kind of see where he's. The way I see it is, I kind of look around at the world we. I mean, I also understand Jaden's point where we watch movies to get away from reality, but I also wouldn't buy it if it was anything kind of like a classic comic book. I just think that with Superman trying to do so much good and getting so much opposition from people, which I completely agree is what would happen, I can understand him being pissed off. I can understand him losing some hope because, I mean, humans to a lot of degree are assholes, especially in this day and age. I mean, they can't, I mean, just look at the people right now running for office. and you're kind of thinking of which one of these clowns is the least worst for me, and so I can kind of see that. I get it. And it's because of that that I don't necessarily mind it that much. And also, that's why I didn't have any issues with Man of Steel, because it's a little bit darker. And now, you know, his transition here to this movie, where now you got Lex Luthor poking at him. Now you have Batman kind of being really upset. I don't mind it at all. So
I don't mind him being upset. I don't mind him, you know, quite like when that scene on the balcony with Lois, where he's just like, it's almost like he's just had enough. Like, you know, he's trying to do the right thing all the time, and you know, he keeps getting crapped on, and so I can understand the angst. And I'm not saying I mind that. I'm not saying I necessarily mind the darker Superman either. I mean, there's things he says and does in the movie that are wildly out of character for me, but like I said, I can accept that a Superman that is trying to be Superman in today's world might act that way. The biggest problem I have with Superman in this movie is the guy has like 50 words to say the entire movie. He gets no character development. He gets no character moments. There isn't even, I mean, because regardless of whether you like the classic Superman or not, you have to acknowledge the fact that the reason there are superheroes, like to get a little meta here, the reason there are superheroes is because Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster invented Superman, Action Comics number one, released that. It was a big hit. He's the grandfather of all superheroes. They all sprung from him, you know, around the planet. The reason there is Batman, the reason there is Wonder Woman, all that is because of Superman. And back in the day, he was the symbol of hope. He was what everybody aspired to be. He was something that was greater than all of us. Something that we as humans could try to become and try to achieve the greatness that is Superman. So, I mean, that's the reason a lot of people have a problem with him becoming dark. And like I said, I can suspend that. I can say, okay, let's forget about that. Let's say it's Superman becoming Superman in this world at this time, and he would be a little darker, and he wouldn't necessarily be such a huge symbol of hope. But you gotta give him something. You gotta give him at least a moment or two so that he's recognizable as Superman. Otherwise, you could just call him Captain Action or Joe Schmo or whatever, and it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't stray so far from the roots of the character that he becomes unrecognizable. And I fear that's what's happening, especially for people that aren't necessarily as versed in this. Because when you look at this movie, it's actually a hodgepodge of a bunch of classic stories, you know?
Hodgepodge is a perfect word for it.
Yeah, the Death of Superman story, the Dark Knight Returns original story with the bat armor and them fighting. You know, it's a lot of different moments from different comics, you know, that are put together. And we can understand that as comic fans. But, you know, there's people that are going to go see this, especially an older generation that, you know, maybe grew up with Superman on the radio and the serials, or, you know, that just love Superman. And the character is not recognizable as Superman other than having the S on his chest. And that's the problem that I have with it. Not necessarily that he's darker or that he, you know, he seems like he's, you know, it's him against the world or whatever. I just feel like they could have given him something, you know, they could have given him a little something. It would have given me hope, and no pun intended, because it's supposed to be a symbol of hope, that they, at least that it's coming. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and as far as that goes, I mean, the Capitol building blows up, and Superman's being burned in effigy in the streets. Everybody's out for his blood, and then he kills Doomsday, and all of a sudden he gets the hero's burial at Arlington Cemetery, and they're holding candlelight vigils or whatever. I mean, it's, I don't know. To go from one extreme to the other so fast, you know, the general population, that didn't necessarily make much sense either. Seemed like most of them been like, oh, well, he died. He sacrificed himself for us to kill Doomsday. Good riddance to both, you know? I mean, you have to be willing to admit that, Manny, that he's not recognizable as a Superman from comics in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. And don't you think he needs to be at least a little bit?
I kind of feel like maybe they're saving that for the Justice League, but they shouldn't do it that way. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it at all. But with the way it's turning out, I feel like that's what they're doing, is that whatever world threat's gonna come out of the first Justice League, it's gonna end up being Superman rising up as a symbol of hope, to combat that after Batman brings together the other key members. But I don't know, that part with Superman it's almost like they were like, yeah, let's do a Man of Steel 2 movie, and then it's like, well, you know what, how about we do a Batman one instead? It's like, well, I don't know exactly what their mindset was, but they tried to cram in way too much into this movie. And the character who ended up losing the most was Henry Cavill Superman.
Well, let me ask you this. How much characterization and character moments are we going to have room for in Justice League when there was only three heroes, the Trinity, in this movie, and we didn't have time for any of it, when you're going to add in Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg?
Aren't they all going to have their own movies before this Justice League comes out?
Only Wonder Woman is.
Yeah,
only that's Wonder Woman. That's so stupid. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. They're it seems like Warner Brothers is so worried about playing catch-up to Marvel, and I don't necessarily begrudge them for trying to do it a different way, whereas Marvel did the individual movies first or whatever.
But that worked. Why do you not look at something that worked and be like, okay, so this worked, so let's do something similar to this?
Well,
because it's boring if you do the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just bad. We're just cramming too much together, and it just ends up being not as good as it could be.
Like me, for example, I'm really tired of Marvel movies. Like I don't see them in theaters. I watch them online. I wait till they come out on DVD.
Yeah, but you don't really care about those characters. If you saw that there was going to be a solo Flash movie, if you saw there was going to be a solo Wonder Woman movie, you would go see them, especially if they had people behind them. I don't like rushing. Isn't anything that I see, it's rushed. All the video game companies, all of the movie companies, everything that they're just like, we need to get this out now because this is when we're going to get the most money. All those movies and all that product is always inferior to the people that just go out and spend the time, spend the money, find the right people, and get it done over the amount of time that it needs to take. Like, that's always the better way that I've always seen. And people see that people are more passionate and it's more thought out, and that they've gotten the people that they should for these movies. I just feel it just bugs me. I like this movie, but it could have been so much better.
I mean, I agree, and I applaud Warner Brothers for trying to do it differently, but clearly it doesn't work. And we've seen it. We've seen it before. You know, we've seen it in movies like Amazing Spider-Man 2. You cram too many characters in, it just doesn't work. Look back at the Batman movies, Batman and Robin Forever. And they just tried to cram too much in. It never works. So I understand them trying to do it this way. I mean, and maybe if this movie had been edited differently and the some tweaks to the plot, and maybe it would have been enough just to see the symbol for Flash, the symbol for Aquaman, the symbol for Cyborg. Maybe we didn't necessarily need to see the little bits of them, you know?
Those should have been deleted scenes too.
And
I didn't really mind those little parts.
And cut out the dream sequences as well. And maybe it could have been okay. But I just don't see how you redeem Superman in a Justice League movie. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you devote all the... He's going to have all kinds of character moments. But that's going to be to the detriment of the other characters in the movie. You're going to have no sense of who Flash is. You're going to have no sense of who Cyborg is. You're going to have no sense of who Aquaman is. Because they're not going to have enough screen time unless the movie's like 8 hours long. It just is not going to work. And I... You know, as much as this movie did exceed my expectations, I have zero confidence in Zack Snyder for Justice League, because the weaknesses of this movie are only going to be exacerbated in another movie with the same kind of tone, the same kind of editing, that has even more characters requiring screen time. I mean, we'll understand Wonder Woman because her movie is going to come out first, but we're not going to have any idea who Flash is or Aquaman or Cyborg. We're not going to get enough screen time. And there's even rumors.
I really don't think we need a lot on Flash, especially with the TV show. Understandably, it's a different universe, but you know who Barry Allen is. You know what his powers are.
I do. Got him. I mean, but you have
if
to realize...
If you're watching the Justice League, I'm pretty much going to assume that you've also know of or heard of the Flash TV show.
Yeah, that's probably true. Doesn't mean you've watched it. Doesn't mean you even know that Barry Allen is the alter ego of the Flash. There's a lot of... I talk to a lot of people that their only exposure to these comic book heroes is these movies. They don't know anything about the storylines. They don't know necessarily secret identities. They're just going. They want to see a cool movie. I talked to one of the girls at work today who went and saw, you know, she asked me what I was doing after work. I said, oh, I'm going to go see Batman vs. Superman again. She's like, oh, I just saw that. Yeah, it was okay. I didn't really understand why they were fighting. That didn't really make a lot of sense to me. You know, she just thought it was okay. She said Wonder Woman was cool. That was her favorite part about the movie. So, you know, I was telling her, oh, yeah, there's going to be a Justice League movie and blah, blah, you know. And she, I mean, it's just a regular 21-year-old girl, you know, who loves the Marvel movies and went in to see Batman versus Superman hoping to see something good, you know, and it just didn't live up to her expectations. That's the fight that is on Warner Brothers' hands right now. And as much as I love DC, as much as I love their comics more than Marvel, and I want their movies to succeed, they're losing the battle. And this movie needed to kick off their Justice League universe of movies with a bang, and I feel like it's more of a whimper, you know, especially with the mixed reviews, you know, like we talked about this just the other night about how much the sales numbers dropped, the ticket sales numbers dropped, and like Jaden said, that's a lot of word of mouth. You know, anybody who's on the fence has probably heard all the negative reviews and, you know, all the bickering back and forth online, and they're like, I'll skip it. You know, it makes me sad because I love these characters, and I just want Zack Snyder to go away. I mean, he could keep making other movies, and there's probably movies he'd make that I'd go and watch.
It's not just him, though. It's the whole studio. Everybody's letting him do it. The thing is, with, like, Marvel movies and just, like, Star Wars movies and, like, all these movies that are under Disney, there's just these certain guidelines that, like, this movie... when I go and see a Marvel movie, like any sort of like Disney movie that they're putting out with these big names, I'm expecting it to be mediocre at best. I'm expecting it to be like they looked over it, they combed through it, they were like, okay, so this movie, it cannot be over this amount of time because people like to see this movie at this amount of time, and like and Warner Brothers was just like, oh yeah, you want to do 2.5 hours? We can do 2.5 hours. And I was like, oh okay, so this big movie, they give it 2.5 hours, so it's going to be 2.5 hours of stuff that I need to see. And I could probably go in and cut 40, 45 minutes of stuff and not miss a single thing. You could get every single point in the movie still.
Yeah,
and you won't even care.
You could easily cut an hour,
I'd say. It's just crazy to me. It's I don't know.
And so then when you think about it, okay, so cut that hour of crap you don't need. How much more could you have put in to make the story make sense and to give character moments and make it a better movie?
I agree.
It should have been amazing, and it wasn't.
It was good. It was all right.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's not just Zack Snyder, but I feel like getting rid of him would be a good start. I mean, like, I'm very, very anxious for the Wonder Woman movie. Well, I'm also anticipating Suicide Squad a lot more now as well, because that's a Warner Brothers, that's a DC property, and it's not any of the people that have been involved in Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman, with the exception of Jeff Johns, you know, who kind of oversees because he's the DC chief creative officer. So let's see how, you know, is that going to be a good movie?
And if that's David Ayer, though.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, there's not a David Ayer movie I've seen that I have not liked.
They're all good.
Okay, and then what comes after Suicide Squad? Wonder Woman?
Yeah, that would be next.
Yeah, so again, I'm highly anticipating that. Let's see, you know, I said it from the first time I saw Man of Steel, get rid of Zack Snyder, get rid of David Goyer, I think the movies will be better. So it's not that I want to be proven right, I just want there to be good movies. And if those movies do really, really well, maybe Warner Brothers will wake up and be like, yeah, you know, maybe it's time to make a change. I mean, it'll be too late at that point for Justice League, because aren't they already filming?
Yeah, they start filming, I think, next week.
Yeah, it's already done. And Justice League is going to be both part one and two are going to be Zack Snyder. They're not taking them off.
Yeah, but now I know David S. Goyer's name was still on the Batman versus Superman, but wasn't there some kind of falling out between him and Zack Snyder? Did you guys hear anything about that?
Yeah, there was.
So he's not involved anymore going forward?
I think if he is, he has a very limited involvement.
So we're halfway there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of blamed Man of Steel pretty much solely on David Goyer, and then I watched Batman v Superman, and then the parts that I didn't like about it, I realized that a lot of them were Zack Snyder. Like, I liked him as a director a lot more before I saw Batman v Superman, and I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, now, I enjoyed Watchmen, that's Zack Snyder, but, yeah, you know, different property.
But that's so perfect for him, and comparatively.
It's not... For whatever reason, the editing in that movie's done so much better. And there are a lot of character moments in that movie, so... And, you know, his other... And that is considered, you know, kind of a mediocre movie. It's not considered a critical or financial success by any means. I guess his biggest hit, one that was considered to be highly successful, was 300, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that, again, that's a very visual movie, but it also... I mean, I don't know how much direct involvement Frank Miller had, but again, that's a movie where it's not choppy. It has some decent character moments. I mean, there's not really that much characterization needed. So, I mean, go back and, you know, watch 300, and I don't necessarily see any of the problems that I see in this movie. So maybe it's just a matter of scope.
Well, that's the thing. 300, you have very limited settings. You had like three or four characters you really needed to spend time on. So there's not much to do. It was really more about the 300 men in Thermopylae and pass and fighting. And you had to focus on Leonidas, his wife, Xerxes, and maybe the narrative guy. But other than that, there wasn't much to it. I mean, it was a lot. I think it's a lot easier film to put together because it's more visual than anything else.
Yeah. Now, what other movie did he do? Was he the one that did Sucker Punch?
Yes, he did.
I never even saw that because I heard it was nothing but like visuals, but the story made like no sense, and again, the editing was poor.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I would describe it.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is other than getting rid of David Goyer. But, I mean, at this point, they're so invested in him. Getting rid of Zack Snyder. But at this point, they're so invested. And clearly, the powers that be at Warner Brothers, you know, they saw the final version of Batman versus Superman. And, you know, were confident enough in it that they said, okay, yeah, we're gonna go with Zack Snyder on Justice League. I don't know, I almost feel like, okay, maybe, I mean, they couldn't have thought that it was a perfect movie, and again, I'm surprised that they named Zack Snyder the director for Justice League before this was released to see how it did, you know, financially, because, I mean, they could have pulled back and said, okay, we're still going to let you have a hand in the creating the Justice League movies, Zack Snyder, you can be an executive producer, but we want kind of a little bit of a different take by choosing a different director, you know, and as executive producer, he's still going to have some say in the, you know, the scenes and the way things play out and everything, but just not be so directly involved. But now, I mean, I don't even know if they could take him off Justice League at this point, you know, because, I mean, there's that petition to remove him or whatever, and it would look like they're caving to their fans. It's just, I mean, they're stuck with him now.
No, they're not going to do that. I mean, they've already created so many sets. Not only here in the United States, but I also in London. And then I know for a fact that I'm pretty sure that the reason why they're filming them so quick is because they have some sets that they built for Wonder Woman that I think maybe they also wanted to use for the Justice League film. Maybe there's some, they have to go back to Temiscira or something. But, I mean, I wrote it in my review. It's Zack Snyder's universe. You can call it Earth 53 if you want, but at this point, the DC cinematic universe is Zack Snyder's universe. And if you don't like it, it's gonna be a long ride for you. That's literally what I wrote.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long ride.
I mean, that's just what it is.
It's gonna be a long ride. Like I said, all I can hope is that one of these other, like, say, Suicide Squad, or especially if the Wonder Woman movie does really, really well, and it's a very different tone and a different look, and it just, you know, is huge and does, like, you know, 10 times the money that Batman versus Superman did, and, you know, then maybe they'll start to wake up. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. Anyway, Jaden, did you see Sucker Punch?
I watched, like, half of it, and I couldn't watch it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Bad editing, eye candy with no...
No. Visually, it's a great movie. It's pretty to look at the entire time. The plot is terrible. The acting is terrible. The writing is terrible. It's just how it is.
Well, I mean, Zack Snyder was the director. How was the director? Yeah. I mean, that could be why the acting is terrible, right?
He's a visual director, like I said. He made it look good. It's a bad movie in all other respects.
Like I said, overall, I'd give it a 6, but like Jaden said, for being that it's, you know, these two iconic characters, a 6 is pretty disappointing. You know, there's certain scenes, certain moments I love, but overall, it's just disappointing that it wasn't better. I mean, I wasn't such a huge DC fan and such a huge Superman fan and didn't enjoy those couple moments so much, if I didn't geek out so much seeing the Trinity on the screen and Wonder Woman, then I probably would give it a much, much lower score. And with the 6, I'm probably being generous.
Yeah, I think I'd give it probably like a 4.5 out of 10. Like, I liked the fight scenes. It looked really good. I had so much problem with the story. It was very jarring at times. Oh, you guys were just fighting literally less than 3 minutes ago on camera. I'm a friend of your son's. Okay.
From my perspective, I give it a 7. I was pleasantly surprised with Jesse Eisenberg, and I like his modern take on kind of like what
Joker Luther. Luther and Joker Venom?
More like,
isn't he Lex Luthor's son?
More like Google Lex Luthor or Apple Lex Luthor. That's what I call him.
There is no way a person with that personality wouldn't have been run out of his own company. Guy can't even string a sentence together.
I don't know. He outsmarted Batman he strung him along. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, I guess. I absolutely hated that Lex Luthor. And I haven't... Manny, you're the only person that I've heard that's liked it.
I liked it. And that's my personal opinion, I guess. I was fine with it. Man, I just thought maybe...
And I respect your opinion, but man, I've never disagreed with you more.
I just thought they needed to spend... maybe spend a little bit more time with how he got to where he got, as far as the information that he had from Wonder Woman, how he found out about Batman.
Yeah, how did he know who? Superman was?
You know, just little things, just kind of like even if it was in conversation where you said, I hacked into something. Just tell me, give me something, or like. I would have even preferred where when Bruce Wayne takes all that information out of his computer and he puts it into his personal computer in the Batcave, like Lex Luthor looking right back at him like, oh, I know who you are. Something, you know, give me something to tell me why he knows what he knows, and that would have satisfied me.
I will concede that the Lex Luthor character in this movie was better than I thought he was going to be. I thought the lines that he had were actually written well. I just didn't like the way that Jesse Eisenberg put him out there.
No, I didn't like that he was Joker. You know, he was Jokerized Luthor. I didn't like.
I don't know. You hate the Joker though, so that's also an extra.
Yeah, but regardless of whether I hate the Joker or not, Lex Luthor needs to be a completely different character, and he is a completely different character than the Joker. He's not scatterbrained. He's not giggly and that's just not him. It was again, you know, just like with Superman, it's so far away from the source character that it just call him something else. Just give him a different name, and I'm fine with it. Like I said, I thought he was a great villain. He just wasn't Lex Luthor. And as far as it's kind of like, didn't you watch Smallville where Lex Luthor's dad was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing as far as, you know, his dad has started the company and then he just took it over.
Oh, okay. Because, like, that's what I was hearing from people is that he was, like, Lex Luthor's son, like Lex Luthor Jr. or something. And I thought that wasn't right.
No.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think they should have gotten Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville to play him.
I would have been totally down with that.
I think he would have done a great job.
I didn't necessarily love Michael Rosenbaum's version of Lex Luthor.
You didn't see him in the later seasons, though. I think he really matured when he got kind of more evil. I think he did really well.
I've heard that as well, but there were things about that it didn't necessarily line up, but it was much closer than this, and I would have loved it. I would have loved it. Again, I think they would have been better off doing a Superman sequel. Could have been him versus Lex.
Kevin Spacey Lex?
No, it didn't have to. It could have been Michael Rosenbaum. I mean, and you hear the same argument, you know, okay, Batman movie, and it's always the Joker. You know, Superman movie, it's always Lex. You know, they did Man of Steel. It was Zod and them coming to Earth. They could have done Lex Luthor, even though it had been done with, you know, Gene Hackman back in the day, even though it had been done with Kevin Spacey. It could have been good enough with Lex again, you know, being, again, that kind of tycoon, businessman guy, no flies on me, Superman, you can't prove anything kind of thing. And I think that would have been a much better way to go for Warner Brothers, because then you have the space to really focus on Superman, develop him as a character, and you know, see what really makes him tick. And, you know, even though Lex would be the villain, it doesn't have to be some big diabolical plot kind of thing, you know? It can be something that plays out over time. You can still have him contacting Darkseid, you know, going forward, and, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I just think going that direction would be a lot better.
Talking about that, for it being a 2.5-hour movie, and for all the crap that you had in the beginning, that deleted scene where he has a mother box, I find that to be a very important scene that needed to be in the movie, or at least a post-credit scene, something. I the deleted scene I'm talking about where he's in the ship and I'm not sure if he's holding one or he's looking at something holding a mother box. I thought that was pretty important. That should have been in the movie.
Yeah,
I
read about it and I watched it real fast, but I didn't pay much attention. I didn't actually see the mother box in the scene. I was like, I thought there was supposed to be a mother box in there. I was just expecting it to be more prominent in the scene, I guess, kind of like it was in the Cyborg scene, how it's mm-hmm. a big giant pulsating box right there, and I didn't notice it in the scene, but I didn't bother to watch it again. I was like, whatever. So, if I had to sum up Batman vs Superman in one word, I'd say disappointed, which makes me think I should probably give it a lower score than 6 out of 10. But I'm going to stick with my 6 out of 10 just because, again, I think it's worth seeing just for the Wonder Woman and the Batman scenes. And there were things that I loved about, you know, I loved Wonder Woman. I loved Ben Affleck as Batman, except when he was being irrational about Superman. Like, and again, some of the worst scenes in the movie for me are the ones that were in the previews, in the trailers, like Batman telling Superman, you know, when your light's in the sky, don't go to it. And the most ludicrous Batman line in the whole movie is him saying, you know, if we think there's even a 1% chance, we have to take it as an absolute certainty and destroy him. I'm like, that's not Batman either. If he think there's a 1% chance, he's the world's greatest detective. He would have contingency plans and he would.
I don't think he's a detective in this movie.
No, he's not. But I mean, that's who he should be.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would have
a superpower, basically.
Yeah, he would have, you know, explored things and he would have investigated and he would have found out and, you know, and there wouldn't have been this irrational. Because if there's one thing you can say about Batman, as much as he's obsessive, he's also extremely logical and rational. He plans everything out. That is his, you know, superpower, his brain. And, you know, for him to be so wrapped up in emotion and because, you know, the Battle of Metropolis killed all his employees or a bunch of his employees, it just, it doesn't ring true. So other than those scenes, when he was just being Batman, like the fight scenes and such, then, you know, and he looked great in the costume. So, yeah, I loved that. I loved Jeremy Irons as Alfred. Actually, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Amy Adams being cast as Lois Lane, and I didn't have much feelings for her one way or the other in Man of Steel, but I thought here she was a really good Lois.
She's an amazing actress.
Yeah,
it's funny because really I found her really annoying, but I find Lois Lane in general to be really annoying. So I thought she did fantastic. You know, but that's just her character. She's very confident, and she kind of knows in the back of her mind that Superman's got her back, so she can kill with almost whatever she wants. So with that, that's why I find her annoying overall in the animated series, in other films and whatnot.
I think that's a problem. I think that's a problem you have with Superman. You know him more from the animated series, him and Lois from the animated series, than from the comics.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk, man. I need to give you some good Superman stuff to read so you really understand who he is supposed to be, not from the two-dimensional cartoon character he was on TV, because in no way did that Superman Adventures come anywhere close to capturing the essence of Superman the way the Batman animated series did. That I feel like, in a way, the Superman animated series was such a two-dimensional and superficial version of Superman that it actually hurt more than it helped. I mean, when I talk to comic readers, especially in their mid-20s, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, yeah, Batman, the animated series was like my gateway into comics. I never hear anybody talking about the Superman animated series. You need to read some of the old school Superman stuff.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing with me. I'm not, Superman doesn't, I understand his place in history. He just doesn't interest me as much as most other characters do.
Yeah, but that's because you haven't read the good stuff. That's what I'm telling you. And I don't ever expect you to become a Superman fan, but I just think that you would understand him better if you read some things like John Byrne's Man of Steel, and some of the early John Byrne, like the Exile storyline, which is a storyline where, so just real quick, Superman traveled to an alternate dimension, because at that time, it was after the Crisis on Infinite Earths, and there was no multiverse. It was just one universe. But he traveled to an alternate dimension where the Phantom Zone villains, including General Zod, had completely destroyed all life on Earth. Like, there's nothing there. It's like a planet of ash. And one being from the planet manages to escape, come to our dimension, brings Superman back to stop him. Superman goes, and he actually kills these three villains by subjecting them to kryptonite. And he ends up feeling very guilty about it, to the point where he starts going out in a different identity. Like, he thinks he's going to sleep at night, but he's actually going out as a different vigilante who's much more violent. And when he realizes this, that his guilt has created a separate persona and it's causing problems and he's not in control, he takes it upon himself to exile himself to outer space. And it's just about his journey of, like, rediscovering who he is or whatever. And it's just a really, really great story. So that's another early post-crisis storyline that really gives us good sense of who Superman is. And I just have a feeling if you read that, you'd have a deeper understanding of the character. Again, I don't think you're ever going to be a Superman fan, but I just think it would be a good, like, perspective. You know what I'm saying? And
I haven't
steered you wrong yet recommending things.
No, you've never have. as far as just to kind of turn the attention on Batman and Bruce Wayne, I have this bad feeling, and I think they almost do this with every character, Goyer and Zack Snyder. I feel like they read The Dark Knight Returns, and they assumed that that's how he is in every other book. And they said, well, yeah, he's pretty dark, and he's he's very grouchy and whatever, and it's like, well, let's amp it up a little bit more and have him actually take some people out and just be angry all the time. Like, I just don't feel like they don't look at enough source material and execute the characters properly, because I can totally see that they just read that one or two books maybe where he's more of an older, weathered kind of, like, I have to be brutal because I'm older and I need to take these people out unless I don't have enough time to do all the things maybe I used to do when I was younger. So that's kind of where I rolled my eyes a little bit thinking about the Batman character, because I mean, Christopher Nolan's was right there, and then this one was too far. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not just Zack Snyder and David Goyer that, you know, have read Dark Knight Returns. I think Ben Affleck specifically in some interviews has mentioned it as well. And yeah, I mean, the big problem is that story isn't in continuity. You know, it's a great story, you know, and some people, I mean, I don't like it as much as a lot of people do.
I don't either.
But, you know, be that as it may, you know, it's clearly a seminal work, and so, you know, I can understand why they would want to pull from it, but again, it's not, you know, it's its own thing, and so when you're bringing it into the mainstream, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't necessarily, and it's not like, okay, I mean, they easily could say the DC Cinematic Universe is the universe of The Dark Knight Returns.
I would hate that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would, and so it's like they're trying to pull from that universe and then, you know, pull from the main DC universe, and, you know, clearly there's such disparate ideas that it doesn't really make much sense. And again, you know, we had a movie that didn't make as much sense as it should have, so you take that for what it, you know, for what it is.
Yeah, and then as far as Wonder Woman, I was really scared that they would kind of make her. You know how you have this bad habit. Marvel did it with Scarlett Johansson, where in some of the films she actually became more of a damsel. In some cases, where she got kidnapped by Ultron. And some other moments where she necessarily didn't look like a superhero, she looked more like a damsel in distress. I don't know. I felt like with Wonder Woman, I know it's very minimal screen time, but the moments that she was on screen, I felt like, whoa, she doesn't need anyone protecting her. As a matter of fact, she's the one who just saved Batman.
Yeah, she saved Batman's ass. He would have been toast.
No, completely. Yeah, completely. Would have been burnt to a cinder. And then just the way she takes
everybody would have been dead. She's the person who, the reason that Doomsday didn't kill everybody. She was holding him off like 10 times longer than Superman and Batman combined.
Oh, yeah. No, and even when he goes in with the spear, she's the one holding him with the Lasso of Truth, which glowed, and it was awesome. But, I mean, if it's not for her, none of this happens. So it was really cool that they can finally take a female character and really, you know, make her the star, which I understand it wasn't the point of the movie, and some people see it as such a negative that Wonder Woman outshines Batman and Superman. But as far as having a female character do that, and for somebody who had such a negative reviews from the first pictures and thoughts, and she was too thin, she's not the right actress, etc. That, I guess, that bright point really made me excited, because that's the next, besides Suicide Squad, that's the next movie we're gonna get.
Yeah, man, I sure it's good. Especially considering how long it's taken him to bring a or a Wonder Woman movie to, you know, it's like, I mean, they talked about doing the TV show, and they could just never get the right take, and they, you know, and I mean, that was part of the reason I was worried as well. I mean, I was one of those people that didn't necessarily think they picked the right actress or whatever, but just so many fits and starts trying to get a Wonder Woman project off the ground. And so, you know, them starting over so many times, I didn't have any faith that they finally did get it right. But man, if the Wonder Woman movie captures the same feel that Wonder Woman had when she was on the screen in this movie, then yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, the interesting thing is they were within an interview with Zack Snyder. They asked him about the smirk that she gives, and he gave all the credit to Gal Gadot for that. She said she did that on their own, and they actually caught it. And when they went to go do a retake, then they kept it in. But that gave me an idea that she kind of did her homework. She understands the character, understands that she loves to fight, that's who she is. She's a warrior. She's that's what she does. And or when she said, I've killed things from other worlds, or
yeah, or I've killed like, things from other worlds before.
Her confidence really was really showed when she just lipped right into battle. And yeah, I thought that was so good.
Yeah, that's one thing actually that Liam Sharp mentioned when I interviewed him at WonderCon about DC Rebirth, when he said, you know, talking about that smirk in the movie and talking about their run, their upcoming run, him, Greg Rucka, and Nicola Scott on Wonder Woman, about how, you know, Batman does what he does because his parents got killed and he's obsessed. Superman does what he does because he has these incredible powers and he has this incredible need to, you know, serve mankind. She's born to it. She's a born warrior. She's raised as a warrior. And so why wouldn't she have, you know, she's doing what she was born to do, what she's done her whole life, what she's been raised to do, which is fight. And so why wouldn't she be on some level be having fun? Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. I think that's going to wrap it up. Any final thoughts, Jaden?
No, not really.
Manny?
At the end of the day, you got to form your own opinion. And if anything, it may not be the best movie that we got. Maybe not the best version that we should have got. But hey, we finally got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman on the big screen after so many years. So we got to take that for what it's worth.
Fair enough. And I just want to thank all our listeners. The Comic Source has been growing, both in listenership and following on social media. And so we really appreciate that. I know we've been asking lately for those of you that listen to be sure and you follow us on those social media sites and share with your friends, get them to follow us too, because it really helps us out as far as increasing our footprint on the internet, which helps us get more access to publishers and helps us go to more conventions and get exclusive content and things like that. So we really appreciate it. If you haven't taken the time, you can go to Twitter and follow us there, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search on Facebook for The Comic Source and give us a like. Also, we're on Instagram under The Comic Source. And of course, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, for all the previous episodes of our podcast, our YouTube channel, Manny's written blog, my written blog, a sketch gallery, lots of good information there. You can also use the Contact Us link on that page to get in touch with us if you'd like to tell us your thoughts on Batman versus Superman or suggest a comic for us to review or read. We loved hearing from our listeners. So you can also email us directly. The email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. So once again, everyone, thanks for your support. It only takes a few minutes. It doesn't cost you anything. So we really, really appreciate it. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.